From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even if we did so with Christ, we do so now no longer. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old is gone, and see, everything has become new. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself in Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting the ministry of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. And on behalf of Christ, we urge you, be reconciled to God. I don't know about you, but sometimes in Mennonite circles, if you're part of that tribe, we tend to use the word peace a lot. And maybe we use it so much that we tend to check out a little bit when we hear the word peace. We're like, oh yeah, been there, done that. Off the list, off it goes. And we don't really think about peace, or we're like, oh yeah, it's used frequently. I sometimes wonder whether Mennonites wouldn't be more helped by a joy Sunday, because Jesus said he came to give that in abundance, and whether that wouldn't help us in our peace relationships. But we'll set that aside and include that as a thought as we think this morning about how it is, what does it mean to be a person of faith in our conflicts? Like, how do we physically work this out as persons of faith in conflicts that we have with each other? I'm going to assume all of us here this morning have brought conflicts that we can think of that are present in our lives right now. They might be situations where we spoke or acted in a way that, although we perceived them to be the right way, were misperceived, and people, we've created a conflict by virtue of our actions with each other. Or words or actions were done or spoken to us, and as a result, we have been in conflict with somebody else. It may be because of an email that we sent way too quickly, without thinking, or a text message that we sent without thinking it through, or somebody else did. And now, although they've apologized to us, every once in a while, the words and the actions and the conflict come back to us with a vengeance, and they tear up our spirit, and they make us very angry. And so we're trying to work at a situation of conflict in our lives, but don't know exactly what it means to bring our faith into the mix of being in conflict with other people. This morning, I thought about it as this week, and I thought about it, our faith as kind of two different distinct piles. And I'm going to call this wood fire pile here, which we're not going to light, just to keep you at peace here this morning, the fire of God's love. And on this side, we're going to call it the pile of our flesh. Now, that flesh is a technical New Testament term, all right? It's the word that describes our humanness apart from the Spirit of God. So Paul the Apostle talks about flesh opposed to spirit. Now, if you don't understand that concept, you will if I say to you, perhaps you're supposed to go to the gym and work out, or you think you should probably be exercising more, going for walks more. And in your spirit, you're like, oh, yeah, definitely, I got to do that. But when it comes down to actually getting up early to do that, you're like, man, I'd just rather sleep. Or perhaps the doctor has said, you know, it would be good for you to restrict certain items on your diet list for your own health. And in your spirit, you're like, oh, yeah, definitely, I can totally do that. But your flesh is like, oh, man, but I have to give up foods I love? And so you see this kind of conflict that goes on. So I'm going to play this out in our conflict relationships as the fire of God's love and the sort of the power of human flesh, our intervention apart from the intervention of God. And in the midst of this, we'll think of this little blanket in the middle here as forces opposed to love. So I'm going to assume there's a spiritual conflict that's at war within us that wants to keep us separate, angry, apart, and estranged from other people and from God, and that this force is in continual operation trying to keep us estranged. So we have this war waging between ourselves and others and God and the power of God's love. In Ephesians chapter 2, one of the texts for Peace Sunday, it says, Christ himself is our peace, for Christ has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between us. Now that's interesting. The Apostle Paul's point to the church of Ephesus is that Christ has taken away all the barriers that keep us from being at peace with other people. In this case, to the church of Ephesus, it was from all of the class and social barriers that kept the people of Ephesus apart from one another. For example, Jews and Greeks. Gentiles were Greeks, and so they could only go so far in the temple to the court of the Gentiles, but they couldn't go further in the temple because they were blocked from doing so. But when Jesus tore the temple, when the curtain of the temple tore in two at the death of Jesus, that barrier was released. And now there is nothing that keeps these hostile groups apart from each other, because Jesus has gone ahead and broken down the barriers. So what does that mean? It means that one of the spiritual tactics that we do, if I'm in conflict with you, or you're in conflict with me, or somebody else is in conflict with somebody else, is one of the things we want to attach ourselves to, first of all, is the peace of Christ, to the Christ who comes and gives us peace in the midst of. When people are in conflict with me, I often find myself, well, it tears at my spirit in a particular way. It's a personality kind of a thing. But I need to kind of lodge or log on to the peace of Christ so that I can get perspective in my situation, so that I don't say or do things that are not appropriate to the situation. One of the other things that we do when we're in the situation, once we've logged on to the peace of Christ, is we're trying to see other people as, to release our judgments that we might have for other people. Paul the Apostle, in the text I said from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, says this crazy thing. He says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we did so with Christ, we do so now no longer. So what that means is this. What we're trying to do in a situation of conflict is release our judgments so that we can see other people as made in the image of God. Now, that's a spiritual task that is not straightforward to do. For example, if you have hurt me in some way or another, I want to, of course, see you as less than, because you have hurt me, or there's a tear in the fabric in the relationship between us. And so what I try and do in my spirit is come to Christ, who's broken down the dividing walls of hostility, and ask God to help me to see you in God's image. The most vivid illustration of this is a story that comes out of apartheid in South Africa that Stanley Green told in 2000. And it's a story of a black woman who was in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of apartheid in South Africa. And there was a trial going on. A man named Vanderbroek had taken her, this black woman's 18-year-old son, and shot him, and had a party, and watched him, and had burned his body. And 8 years later, Vanderbroek came and took this woman's husband. And he took him, and then took her with him, and she was forced to watch as he was also burned. And his last words on the flames were, "Father, forgive them." And now, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was having a trial, and they said to this woman, "What is it that you want us to do?" And she said, "Well, I'd like three things." She said, "I'd like Mr. Vanderbroek to take me to the place where they killed my husband, so I can take his ashes, what's left, and I can give him a decent burial. The second thing is that he has taken away my family, and I'm wondering if he would come to my house several times a month so that I can be a mother to him and give him the love that I'm not able to give my own family. And the third thing," she said, "is I would like Mr. Vanderbrook to know that my forgiveness is real. So if he could come across the courtroom, I'd like to give him a hug. At that point, Mr. Vanderbrook fainted. And at that point, the courtroom broke into amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now that's an extreme example of a release of bitterness and anger, but you could not do that unless you see the other as completely made somehow in the image of God, in the likeness of Jesus Christ, which is a spiritual task that this dear woman had done on her own before she reached trial. If we don't do that, our other option is to move to a place of bitterness and fear and anger in our own spirits, which of course is can be completely legitimate. We've been hurt by somebody. They've said or done things that have been life-destroying. And it's natural for us to move to a place of bitterness, fear, and anger. A number of years ago, I had a situation of conflict in my life, and I wasn't sure how to respond. I get kind of flared up about it sometimes. And in my reading, I came across, all of a sudden in my devotional reading one morning, I came across Psalm 37. And it said in Psalm 37, it just spoke right, it's one of those moments where you read scripture and it just speaks right into your heart. And it said, don't fret because it only leads to anger. And it said, and the word fret means, if you look it up, it means given to hot outbursts. It's like, don't go, it's kind of road rage, right? It's like, where all of a sudden you go from normal to like everything's on, the whole house is on fire basically, right? And I was like, oh, I understand that. And Psalm 37 said, don't do that. Trust in the Lord and do good, it said. And you will find prosperity. What is the rest? I don't know Psalm 37 off by heart here. Oh, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of his heart. All right? So I read that the other thing it says is, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret, be given to hot outbursts with those who prosper in their way. Wait patiently for the Lord over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Don't fret, it only leads to evil. And it's like, of course it does. Fretting, those hot outbursts that we do, only leads to issues of road rage or saying or doing things that we're like, oh, I wish I could take it back, but I can't. But the other thing that we do, finally, is we're looking for the peace of Christ in our lives. We're focusing on releasing our judgments only by the grace of God. The other week when we were looking at, last week when we were looking at LGBTQ issues in the church, there was a guy who was giving a talk on the text in the New Testament, the talk around the issue of homosexuality. And he was going through that, and the text that's often the go-to is Romans chapter 1. And he was going through this text in the history of interpretation around this particular text, which was very interesting. But one of the things he said is this. In Romans chapter 1, if you read it, it lists all kinds of different sins. And it says, since they didn't see to acknowledge God, God gave them to a debased mind. They were filled with wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, craftiness, gossip, slanderous. I mean, there is nothing that isn't covered in this list. Foolishness, haters, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And then he says something interesting, which I hadn't thought of with this text. Most of us, because the chapter divisions only came hundreds of years after the text was written, we stop there and we don't keep reading. But Paul the Apostle says, after listing this whole laundry list of sins that we could commit, says, and therefore you have no excuse whenever you judge others. For in passing judgment, you condemn yourself. Now, why does Paul say that? He says it because the point is God's kindness, he says in that text, is supposed to lead us to turn around. And here's the deal. We all stand under the same grace, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. God's grace is the level playing field. It's the great equalizer. So it's not for us to judge what other people do. But we miss that part and typically focused on the one part of the text. So we release our judgments. The one final thing that I'll include that we work at is this. When we're in situations of conflict with other people, it is very difficult to know how to respond and what we're supposed to do. And the situation I was in a number of years ago, I talked to a colleague around how to respond, and they said, given the situation, this is what I think should happen. And their words were wise because I was tempted to respond in a way. It wasn't the way that I was responding was wrong, but they said, I think you're supposed to leave it right now for this particular issue, and it was very helpful for me. The point of that is this. In situations where we don't know what to do, we have the body of Christ, which helps us discern how it is we're supposed to respond and what it is that we're supposed to do, so that we can be people of peace, people of discernment, people of light, who are trying to respond as best we can in situations of conflict. Paul the Apostle in Romans 12 says, as far as it concerns you, be at peace with all, and that's good news. What that means is this, when we're estranged from other people, we can only do our part. We don't carry the whole thing. It's not entirely up to us. It's not all about us. But we work blessing God, inviting the peace of Christ to fill us, trying by the grace of God to release our judgments because we're all on the same playing field, avoiding bitterness and anger by returning continually to the pile of Christ's peace in our lives so that we can be agents of freedom, reconciliation, and hope. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you go ahead of us, that you hold us in the midst of our conflicts and disagreements. We pray for people here today who are dealing with issues from the past or the present that grant them fear, concern, anger, and distress. God, we pray that you would show them your purpose and your peace in the midst of, that you would work all things out. Thank you that we can trust you, that you go ahead of us, and that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thank you for that promise. I pray for people who have trouble letting things go. Things spoken or said over them years ago still come to haunt them. Jesus, on this day, on this hour, and in this moment, would you stand between them and their past so that they could be free from accusation and free to set their feet in a place of freedom because of you. Thank you for the good news of Jesus. Amen.
Thinking of that dear woman in South Africa, I'm going to invite you just to stand and sing one verse of Amazing Grace with me. Please stand. We won't even get the books out.
Amazing Grace.